It is hard to overstate how much Gil Hodges, a coal miner's son, was loved in his adopted city. That he excelled both at bat and in the field in Brooklyn, he was the National League's career right-handed home run leader with 370 at the time he retired, was a significant part of his popularity. But the Dodgers were loaded with good players. That he drove in both runs in the decisive Game 7 of the 1955 World Series to lift the Brooklyn Dodgers to their only series title would never be forgotten. But there were other heroic Dodger performances in the series as well. There was something else about Hodges, a sincerity, a Midwestern authenticity, a humility that went to his core, that endeared him to almost everybody, making him almost immune to criticism. Not getting booed at Ebbets Field was an amazing thing, Clem Labine, Hodges' longtime Dodger teammate, once said. Those fans knew their baseball, and Gil was the only one who never, and I mean never, was booed. Even when Hodges went 0 for 21 against the Yankees in the 1952 World Series, the fans in Ebbets Field remained on his side. When the slump continued early in the 1953 season, Hodges was batting 181 with one home run and five runs batted in through the first 32 games. Father Herbert Redmond of Brooklyn's St. Francis Catholic Church famously stood in the pulpit one steamy spring Sunday and offered his parishioners one of the briefest and most memorable homilies in church annals. "It's far too hot for a sermon. Keep the commandments and say a prayer for Gil Hodges," he said. In his book, The Game of Baseball, Hodges wrote about how he would never forget that, just as he wouldn't forget the hundreds of people who sent me letters, telegrams, and postcards during that World Series. There wasn't a single nasty message. Everybody tried to say something nice. It had a tremendous effect on my morale, if not my batting average. Remember that in 1952, the Dodgers had never won a World Series. A couple of base hits by me in the right spot might have changed all that. The response was vintage Hodges, ever ready to accept responsibility and not at all eager to accept acclaim. He won a Bronze Star in World War II in recognition of his outstanding professional attainments and tireless devotion to duty in the face of unrelenting Japanese aerial attacks in Okinawa. He never even told his parents about the honor, and whenever he was asked about it years later, he declined to discuss his service to the country. After he became only the second player in modern baseball history to hit four home runs in a game, he was inevitably compared to the first man to have done it, his fellow first baseman Lou Gehrig. "The only difference between us is he's a much better player," Hodges said. Some 14 years later, one of Hodges' Senators players, Jim King, hit three homers in a game, and someone asked Hodges if he'd ever done that. "I'm not in the record books for 3-1 game," Hodges said, not wanting to intrude on King's moment. Hodges' modesty wasn't for show, and neither was anything else about him. He was a ballplayer cum Boy Scout without the oath. "Gil was the only guy I could go to for anything," Irving Rudd, the Brooklyn Dodgers publicity director, once said. "If I needed a player to visit a blind kid in the stands, a kid in a wheelchair, Gil this, Gil that, he'd be there." One night in Brooklyn, a postal worker named Alvin Miller attended a funeral for the wife of a family friend. A broad-shouldered man and a woman walked up to the door, and the man asked Miller if he was coming in. Miller said yes, and only when he got inside did he recognize the couple as Gil and Joan Hodges. The two men wound up talking about baseball and life in Brooklyn. 45 minutes later, Miller departed and waited for a bus to take him home to the Mill Basin section of Brooklyn. A car pulled up alongside the bus stop. It was Hodges, who asked Alvin Miller if he'd like a ride home and went miles out of his way to take him there. During Hodges' time with the Senators, the club acquired Ryan Duren, a four-time All-Star reliever with the Yankees, who wore bottle-thick glasses and was renowned for both being the hardest thrower in baseball and for having a terrible drinking problem. It was the summer of 1965, and things weren't going well in Washington for the 36-year-old Duren, who had pitched to a 6.65 earned run average in 16 games, the last of them in Washington on August 18th in ninth-inning mop-up duty against the White Sox. Duren had faced two batters, giving up a walk and a single before Hodges made a pitching change. Duren was completely distraught about his performance. He drank heavily after the game and made his way to the bridge over the Connecticut Avenue Gorge. It was known as the Jumper's Bridge. Duren climbed to the top and told police he was going to kill himself. The police called the Senators, and Hodges got word about Duren's plight. Duren had been with the Senators for only 2 months, and by his own admission had put poor Gill through hell. Hodges got to the bridge as fast as he could, as Duren recounted in his autobiography. "Ryan, you're drunk," Hodges said. "Come on down. We'll get you help. You're too good to do this to yourself." The Senators released Duren, and he never pitched in another big league game. When Hodges met with reporters the next day and was asked about Duren, he said simply, "The decision to put Duren on waivers was something that happened overnight." Duren eventually found sobriety and became a highly regarded drug and alcohol addiction counselor who helped countless people turn their lives around.